Mahatma Gandhi wrote, "There are people in the world so hungry that God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread." It's true, I love to eat. Not seafood, except for fish. Nothing really exotic like pig's feet or cow brains or pate. And I usually stay away from deep-fried food and food with lots of fat, so I don't know what else is left, really. But almost anything else will do. I have to say that I personally have never experienced hunger. I have been hungry, but I've never gone without food or had too little food for a very long time. So I know I'm really quite fortunate in relationship to much of the world, and I cannot talk with any personal authority about hunger. I don't like to fast. Some people love to fast in order to gain a deeper appreciation of God's gifts and the strength of God necessary, and to experience, in a sense, one's neediness, one's own weakness, humanity, and the weakness of that, and to depend more upon the divine. But for me, fasting for even a day is very difficult to do unless I'm really sick and sleep a lot and I'm not hungry anyway. And then I don't miss food. Otherwise, I get kind of anxious unless I consume food at least twice a day. I really don't like to be hungry. It's not really an issue of comfort, I don't think. It's a security thing. Somewhere deep in my reptilian brain, I believe that hunger for any length of time is equivalent to the danger of starvation. Ridiculous. But there it is. I don't know where I learned it, but it's there. Mother Teresa wrote, "There is more hunger for love and appreciation in this world than for bread." I can say that I have been and remain hungry for greater understanding and truth and the experience of God and joy. I like more sunlight. I am hungry for the companionship of family and friends and peers. And it's also true that I am often completely content to be alone, in solitude. Although I have to admit that after a few days of that, I want people to talk to. People are hungry for all kinds of things. For laughter is one example. We get the news magazine from 7th Avenue Presbyterian Church here in the city, and there's a little thing there about laughter and the value of it. Jean Houston wrote this, "At the height of laughter, the universe is flung into a kaleidoscope of new possibilities." Now, I'm hungry for laughter. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes hard to find and wonderful when it happens. "What soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul," a Yiddish proverb. Stephen King. "You can't deny laughter. When it comes, it plops down in your favorite chair and stays as long as it wants." "Laughter on one's lips is a sign that the person down deep has a pretty good grasp of life," Hugh Seide. All of us crave something, need something, hunger for something. D.T. Niles of the last century said, "Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he or she found food." When I was in high school and in college, hunger for inner peace and a sense of stability and wisdom about relationships played a huge part in my search for meaningful faith. Those things were the food that I really wanted. I really wanted to find those things. I sought them with all of my energy. So when I found a group in college that led me deeper into the experience of the Lord, I was all there. They taught me how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to think about faith, how to interpret the Bible, how to understand it, even how to stand up and speak in front of groups, which was not my strong point. I ate it up. I even began attending church for the first time in my life, and I ate that up too. It's where I first experienced the Lord's Supper, or whatever we're used to calling it, communion, the Eucharist. For me, it was a liturgical celebration of a heavenly meal. It was the down-to-earth commonness of bread, usually cut up into those little tiny cubes, and grape juice, usually in little tiny communion cups. All very symbolic of something much deeper, which I felt as wonderful and mystical and life-giving. Later, I found it far more satisfying and meaningful to have a small chunk of bread for communion than just a little piece, because then I had to think about chewing and swallowing, and it gave me time to think more about the breaking of the Lord's body and the shedding of his lifeblood for me and for the world. A chunk of bread is rougher. It requires more work to consume. It seems more real than the soft, polite little cubes of white bread that usually are given to people during communion. Soft and polite doesn't, for me, speak very powerfully of the life of the Lord, of his struggles and teachings, of his miracles, of his suffering and death and resurrection. I also don't like to go very long without receiving the Lord's Supper. For me, it signifies connection with God and with those who worship God in the present and who have worshiped in the past. It grounds me, it centers me, it emphasizes the importance of committed relationship above material and monetary concerns, and so it resets the horizon of my world. It brings me back to sanity, clear sight. I am the bread of life, points to the Lord as essential to my health and well-being. That is, in its mystery and power, bone deep. Bishop Desmond Tutu wrote this: "I don't preach a social gospel. I preach the gospel, period. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned for the whole person. When people were hungry, Jesus didn't say, 'Now, is that political or social?' He said, 'I feed you.' Because the good news to a hungry person is bread." So what else do I eat? Well, I eat my thoughts, my emotional patterns, the way I interpret my memories, political and social convictions, my interactions with people. I taste them, I chew on them, I digest them. The spiritual growth group that met earlier this year worked through a book called The Joy of Spiritual Growth. We learn that thoughts and emotions affect one another. And we learn to become aware of our thoughts and emotions so that we can learn to consciously change the direction that we are headed in, especially if it's negative. I have relearned the truth that what I feed on internally molds my inner being. And that in turn deeply affects how I am in the world. If I nurture resentful or angry or bitter or selfish thoughts, then my emotions will tend in the same direction. I will develop sharp edges to my personality which unexpectedly poke people. And I am not free to nurture others with spiritual or material bread. I may say, "Peace, peace," but inside is war. And it leaks out of me. Jesus said he came to bring life to the world. The Greek words for life are bios and zoe. The first has to do with physical life, the second with spiritual life. Jesus used the words zoe in this passage in John, meaning the quality of relationship that we call eternal or salvation or regeneration. The Lord gives us zoe, soul food. He gives us soul food, so that our bios may be infused with the eternal, the spiritual. And Jesus also fed thousands of people with real bread. He healed real people with real healing. He wasn't just spiritualized. He was down to earth, face to face, not escaping the travails of this material existence. For me, communion links spiritual and material. It's a communal sign. We do it together. A continuing relationship between ourselves and our Creator that gives rise to loving and truthful acts of compassion and community building toward our neighbor. That's the kind of food I really want to eat. That's the kind of food I want to be in the world as a follower of the Lord. I leave that as a question for you. What do you want to be in this world? Amen.